السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی ور ڈسکسنگ دا فورتھ کوالٹی آف اے گڈ وائف ایز ڈسکرائبڈ بائی نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، اینڈ دیٹ کوالٹی از دیٹ دا لیڈی اٹ از ہر ڈیوٹی دا وائف اٹ از دا ڈیوٹی آف دا وائف ٹو سیف گارڈ her chastity as well as the husband's wealth, right, in his absence. I mean, just as if he was present, she would safeguard her chastity and his wealth, so in the same way, in his absence also, she must safeguard her chastity and his wealth. So we discussed different points with regards to the home, with regards to not making unnecessary demands, being content on the basics, the necessities in life, right? And our homes also, don't make lavish homes, don't worry about lavish lounge suites and lavish kitchens and all these things. Look, we are only in this world for a few days. After that, we'll have palaces in Jannat. It's not like if we're not going to get it in this world, then we lost out. If your whole life in this world, you don't ever have a granite top in your kitchen. You use a wooden top, right? You use a wooden top in your kitchen your whole life. Or forget wooden top. Certain people don't have any top. When I went to India, those ladies, they bichara, they doing all their work on the floor. They got no tops, not even wooden top, right? So maybe a person don't even have any top. And forget that. Some people's homes are such, they don't even have a kitchen. You go to these people living in shacks. So many of our Muslim people are living in shacks. So many of our Muslim people are living in refugee camps. Syria, go and see everywhere. People are living in refugee camps, living in tents, where they got separate kitchens, separate this, separate that. They just making do and they carrying on. So does that mean that they lost out now? No, no, no. This world is temporary. Allah Pak created them just as He created the person with the granite top. Right? So, if they are good Muslims and Muslimas, when they go to Jannat, Allah Pak is going to give them granite tops of Jannat. So, in the world, if it's there, make use of it. If it's not there, don't pine for it. Right? If it's there, make use of it. One brother, he told me, last night I was speaking to him, he said, Maulana, I built such an expensive house, but now I want to change my life. I want to change my life. I want to live a simple life. So I don't want to move in this house. The house is so lavish. Every luxury is there. Right? So I asked him, I said, tell me something. Is this house on interest? So he said, no, Maulana. I built it cash. But I got no more money left now. Whatever money I had, I invested it in this house. I built the house, you know, to our dream spec. Whatever my wife wanted, I put it. Whatever my children wanted, I put it. Whatever I wanted, I put it. It's completed. But now I'm feeling hard to go live there. Because now I heard bayans. And I want to become a simple person. And this house is not going to fit in with my simple lifestyle. So what do I do? If I'm going to sell it, I'm going to have to take a loss. Nobody is going to pay me what I spent for this house. Right? And if I go to buy another house, I'll have to get involved in interest. Because I got no other money now to go buy cash anyway. So I told him, I said, see, bhai, what you do? This house is there already. It's not like you're going now to go and build it. It's there already. Never mind now. Allah Pak knows you want to be simple. Right? Now your simplicity must be in your heart. You move into the house. Never mind. It's already there now. Move into the house. But now, use this house for deen. So he's telling me now, Maulana, how am I going to use this house for deen? I said, see, now you start talim in your house. Right? Then, inform the local Jamaat brothers. Right? That when they're making out the roster for ladies talim, they must include your house. Because you got a very nice big lounge. Right? So they must please include your house for ladies' tanim. Right? Then inform them also. whenever a Masturat Jamaat comes to the area, so they must send the ladies to your house. You'll go sleep in the masjid, they must send the ladies to your house. Then inform the Imam of your masjid that, look, any visiting ulama coming, you need to house the alim anyway. You need to feed the alim anyway. My house is available. So use your house for deen. Use your house. Allah Pa gave you now big house with all the luxuries, everything. Use it for deen now. Right? Never mind. Move in. Right? Because now Allah Pa gave it. It's freehold. You're not owing any interest, nothing. Now utilize it. Right? But I told him, if you had only drawn the plans and you didn't build the house, then I would have told you, see, now scrap those plans, make other plans, build a simple home. Right? So, khair, have simplicity in our homes, in our lives, in our dressing, everything. Now, our author, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Hanif Abdul Majid Saab, he is mentioning another important point, right, with regards to lavish weddings, because that is also a place where the lady, she squanders the wealth of her husband. Just to impress the people, she squanders the wealth of her husband. And if she is told that make it simple, this, that, they just don't listen. The ladies don't know what is the meaning of simple. And sometimes the men are also guilty. They want to show everybody their wealth. It has just become a show. Weddings today have become a show of our wealth and our power and our position in society. Right? So women are inclined to waste a great deal of money in weddings. On such occasions, all matters are referred to women, almost as if men know nothing about spending. As a result of wastefulness on such occasions, many homes have been destroyed. Many people have remained indebted all their lives because of such lavish wedding ceremonies, causing them to age before their time. If people really want blessings in their marriages and desire that the marriages should be filled with love and pious children, they should follow the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "The marriage with the most blessings is the one in which the least expenses are incurred." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned, "The best of women are those who ask for the least dowry." According to another hadith, you know, least meher. She doesn't ask for exorbitant amounts of meher. According to another hadith sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The signs of a blessed woman, a woman who is blessed, is that her proposal comes soon." She gets a proposal early in life. Today the girls, "No, I'm not getting married. I'm not getting married. I still want to study, get my degree, this, that." And we thinking that that is success. Look at what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. If you want to be a lady who is blessed, then it is that woman whose proposal comes quickly. Her dowry is small and her child is born soon. Today, the girls want to go totally opposite to this. They want to get married late. They want a fancy meher. And then when they get married, they don't want children. They don't want children. Why? No, these children are going to cramp our style. We need to still visit. I'm not prepared to trade in my Gucci handbag for a nappy bag. You see? So I still need to boast with my high heels and my Gucci handbag and my fancy clothes. I can't have one baby pulling my scarf here and, you know, weighing me down. I can't have all that. I still need to party. I need my freedom. I need to be able to go out at night. So we're going totally against everything which Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam stipulated, and then we want to know why we're suffering. One can well imagine that if the Sharia encourages the least expense for meher, which is a prerequisite for marriage. Meher is a prerequisite. You have to have meher. If there's no meher, then even if the meher is not stipulated in the nikah, but later on also that meher will be stipulated. There has to be meher. Nikah can't take place without meher. Right? So now something that is a necessity for nikah, a prerequisite for nikah, for that thing, Shariat is saying there must be least expense. So definitely, Shariat will certainly encourage even less expenditure for the wedding ceremony, the trousseau, all these things which have no status in Sharia at all. You see, this reception, they call it reception. You know, after the nikah, generally in our rasam, our custom, right? After the nikah, the lady's side, the girl's side, feeds. They call it the reception, right? That reception got no basis in Sharia. There's no such a thing in Sharia at all. The only thing there is in Sharia is the walima. The walima is from the boy's side, right? But the girl's side want to feed, now they make a reception. So the reception got nothing to do with Sharia. Trousseau got nothing to do with Sharia, right? So when something which has got something to do with Sharia, which is the meher, for that we are being told must be simple and least expenditure, then imagine these things which got no basis in Sharia. Hazrat Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned that when a bridegroom, husband, bridegroom, asks his bride what she brought with her, he is a thief. He wants to know what the because obviously when the girl is getting married, now her grandfather would give her one present, the mother will give her one chain, the father will give some money, couple kruga coins, depending on the wealth of the family, right? They'll give her some present, some money, this auntie will give her something, that uncle will give her something, right? So now the husband, he wants to know now how much she came with now, how much she came with. So this shows he is a thief. His wicked nature is indicated by the fact that instead of asking for mundane commodities from his in-laws, he should be grateful to them for giving him the light of their lives, whom they painstakingly raised for so many years. They gave him their daughter. He's not worried about that. He wants to know now, yeah, how much money you came with, jewelry, what was jewelry you got. He's worried about all those things. By this token, it is also improper for a son-in-law to send a gift to his in-laws with the desire that they should also send him a gift. He's sending them some small gift. Why? So they must also send him some gift, some big gift. This is improper. It's actually sinful to do something like this. Improper to do something like this. Right? Every woman will naturally say that she wants to incur the least expenses for her parents and will therefore not mind if her parents give her little or even nothing when she marries. However, she will concede, I have no choice in the matter because my mother-in-law and sisters-in-law will ridicule me and people will look down on my family. It is the custom in many countries that the bridegroom's parents prepare a list of items that they want the bride's that they want from the bride's parents. In certain families, actually this is the custom in certain families, that the father-in-law has to do up the room. You know, the main room, the master bedroom in the house where the daughter and the and her, you know, the daughter and the son-in-law are going to stay. So the father-in-law has to do up that bedroom. That is the custom in those families. All this is, again, Shariat. Shariat has got no place for all of this. Yes, if the father-in-law is a wealthy person, out of his own free will, he wants to give his son-in-law some present, or he wants to have them to do up their house, or he wants to buy them a house, or whatever, that is his own free will. But to stipulate that this must be done, and we're expecting that to be done, and we're expecting this to be done, that is totally incorrect. Right? They even request what should be given to the bridegroom himself, what should be given to his father, to his mother, and to each of his brothers and sisters. Right? If this is not given in writing, it is made clear to the bride's parents in some other manner. This practice is unjust and violates the injunctions of the Sharia. In today's times, there is a modern way of doing this. What they do? They say, whoever wants to buy gifts for the bride and the bridegroom, they must only buy from a certain shop. Right? Now that shop will have a list of the things that the bride and the bridegroom require. Right? So if you went there and you bought, for example, a tea set. Right? So now that shop will tick off the tea set. So somebody else comes and they want to buy a tea set, and they tell them, no, don't buy a tea set because they already got a tea set. This is the list. This is what's left on the list. So those people are forced to buy what is on the list. Right? So that is incorrect. How can you force people to buy you what you want? They must buy for you what they want to buy for you. Maybe they can't afford those things from that shop at that particular time. Right? So then some people say, no, but you see, we want to know what they require so that we can buy it for them. We don't want to buy them a gift that they're not going to use. So if that's the case, give them the money. Give them the money. Then they'll use the money for whatever they want. Right? Why must we stipulate to people that, no, I need this and I need that? It's like a form of begging. It's like a glorified form of begging. I need this, I need that, I need that. So you're writing everything on a list and you're leaving it in the shop. And you're begging from the people. Now they must go and buy this for you and buy that for you. It's like a glorified form of begging. So all this goes against the injunctions of Sharia. It is therefore imperative for every woman to bear in mind that she will soon be a sister-in-law or a mother-in-law when her brother or son marries. When the occasion arises, she should ensure that she or her mother do not impose on the parents of her sons or brothers-in-laws. If her mother demands anything from her brothers-in-laws, she should explain to her mother that this practice is unjust and that if she imposes on them, the time may come when her daughters-in-laws may impose on her. Favors should be sought only from Allah Ta'ala. Causing people unnecessary expenditure will invite Allah Ta'ala's wrath. Right. Now we come to the fifth quality. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum once said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they would like to know what form of wealth is best to have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "The best wealth is a tongue that engages in zikr, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, the heart that is grateful, your heart always you make shukr, whatever you got you make shukr, and a believing wife who assists her husband in his iman." This is a major function of a believing wife, that she assists her husband in his iman. Today's time, the opposite is happening. Yes, there are those who are assisting in iman, but generally the opposite is happening. If the husband wants to do some deen work also, he is being opposed by the family. Wealth is generally referred to as something that is helpful to one and fulfills one's necessities. Whereas people generally regard money, businesses and property as wealth, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described these three things as true wealth. What? Tongue engaged in dhikr, heart that has got shukr, and a wife who assists the husband in his iman. Right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described these three things as true wealth because of their immense benefits to man. Commenting on the above hadith sharif, Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali writes in his commentary of Mishkat Sharif that a wife who assists her husband in his iman refers to a wife who is concerned about her husband's religiousness and reminds him when it is time to perform salah, keep Rosa, etc. In addition to this, she also ensures that he refrains from fornication and all other sins. She keeps herself beautiful, so he doesn't have to look at anybody else. She keeps herself available to him, so he doesn't have to go to anybody else. In our fast, corrupting environment, we desperately need women who are concerned about the religiousness of their husbands and children. However, it is tragic to note that we are faced with a worsening situation because instead of encouraging their husbands to practice the injunctions of Deen, many women nowadays actually prevent their husbands from religious practices. Instead of encouraging them to be practical Muslims, such women tease their husbands and call them names because they wish to grow a beard or they wish to dress according to the Sharia. Oh, you've gone too old-fashioned now. You can't see I'm still so smart. I can't go with you now. You're looking so old-fashioned. The above Hadith Sharif speaks about having a grateful heart. When a woman is blessed with such a heart, her life becomes one of contentment and happiness because she is grateful for whatever her husband provides. Ulama have therefore mentioned that when a wife is grateful for her lot, whatever she gets, she makes shukr, she will be blessed with a life that is almost free of arguments. Because she's not making any demands, she makes shukr for whatever she gets. And you see, when she is going to make shukr, then the husband will also be appreciative for whatever she does for him. In fact, religious thinkers maintain that ingratitude, na shukri, to show ingratitude, is the worst quality that anyone can possess. Ingratitude. You see some people, for everything they find a problem. For everything they find a problem. And this is from small, we must nip it in the bud. You know, yesterday, I took my son to the park, right? We went to the park there. Now I'm telling him, okay, let's play some cricket, bring the bat and ball. So he's telling me, I see his face is going funny. Ask him, what's the problem? Oh, the ground is uneven. The ground is uneven. Right. So I'm explaining to him, boy, so many children, they would be so happy to be in your position, out in the park, playing a game of cricket. You can only look at the negatives. The only thing you focus on is the negative. Why not make shukr? Be happy, it's a wonderful day, we're having good weather, we have got good health. You're not like you in a wheelchair, or you can't walk, or you can't talk. Allah Pak has given you good health. He has given us some free time. We have come here, now we can play a game and enjoy ourselves. Now you worried about the ground is uneven. Why must you focus on the one negative? There's so many positives around you. So then he started playing. Now when he started playing, now he totally forgot about the uneven ground and everything. He's enjoying himself. So after that I asked him, I said, now boy, did you enjoy yourself even with the uneven ground? So he's saying, gee papa. So this is the thing with us, that we focus on the one negative and we spoil everything else. Why spoil everything? Make shukr, make the best of every situation. And be thankful to Allah Pak. Be thankful to the person who is giving us a gift, who is helping us, who is assisting us. Some lady's husband may be able to take her overseas. Another lady's husband may just be able to take her for a drive to the corner cafe to buy a simple ice cream. Right? But if both make shukr, they will be happy people. But if the lady who's going for the ice cream to the corner shop, she said, yeah, but hey, look at my friend's husband took her overseas. You don't take me overseas. Now that same ice cream that she's going to eat is going to taste like sour milk. There's no happiness. And that lady who's gone overseas, Now her sights is on the other one who went 2 times overseas. But they stayed in a 5-star hotel. You booked me in a 3-star hotel. So she too is not happy. Nobody is happy. Whereas, whatever the situation is, we make shukr for it. Then we'll be content, we'll be happy. On the other hand, there can be no greater blessing than shukr guzari, gratefulness. Allah Ta'ala asserts with great emphasis in the Quran Sharif, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Right? If you show gratitude, I will definitely give you more. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ. And if you are ungrateful, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Then verily, my punishment is severe. So, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful to me, then I will give you even more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and give us tawfiq to make amal. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.